And on today's Windy City Crewcast, Steven Rader and I head into the theater again. And oh my God, we are so excited for Legally Blonde. It's true. It's true. And also Rhiannon. That's right. She was one of the finalists on MTV's The Search for Elle Woods. And I am sitting down with Rhiannon and we are talking about her dreams coming true as she portrays Margot in the fantastic production Legally Blonde. Steven and I are off to the theater. And guess what? So are you.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Someone lawyerly. Someone who wears black when nobody's dead. Girls, I have a completely brilliant plan.
What you want, Warner, what you want is me. But you need to see me in a brand new domain. Well, it's plain, Warner, in a different setting. You will see you're getting all of this plus a brain. I'll meet you there in Harvard with a book in my hand. Big sturdy book, big wordy book, full of words I'll understand and write. There is where you'll see it too. Warner, what you want is right in front of you.
What you want
is clear.
What you want
right here.
What you want
is right in front of you. Front of you.
What you want
is clear.
What you want
right here.
What you want is right in front of you.
Show number 305. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And we're downtown Chicago again and off. And I'm in a pink coat.
A pink scarf. Oh,
woo!
God!
James, watch your ears.
Oh, the lovely city.
And that is the sound of the L in Chicago.
We should do the lines of the Nelly and Cabaret, you know, where she screams.
Oh, yeah.
Ah!
Look at the pansies. It's so beautiful.
Hey,
down
hey,
there.
Hey. I prefer to be called Mr. Pansy. Thank you.
So I can't even stand it. I'm so excited that we are going to see Legally Blonde and going to be talking with actresses from The Search for Elle Woods. MTV presents the reality show of the decade.
Oh, let me tell you.
The Search for Elle Woods.
The reality
show
of the decade.
I have to tell you, it was like my massive guilty pleasure last year. And then to see these girls fulfilling their dream. Though they're not going to be playing Elle Woods, but they're going to be in the show.
Well, now, is the girl who won playing Elle Woods in the tour?
No.
Really?
It's not. It's one of the girls who was the understudy on Broadway.
Who I've heard is great.
Who I've heard is great. Always understudies from Broadway shows are fantastic.
So you can't be too good. If you're too good as a swing, you're going to be a swing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You have to be kind of bad at one part.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't go, oh, he's going to stroke this. We'll put him in the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're really good as a swing, they keep you as a swing. Most people can do that are great.
Yeah. I moved here. People don't even know what you're talking about a swing. What is a swing?
A swing can sort of cover many different roles in a show and go in at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
For instance, Sharon Daw was our female swing for Schoolhouse Rock Live.
Uh-huh.
She could go into any one of the three roles in the show, and the three roles each sang three different parts and all the songs, and she knew all of them.
Yep.
And could flip into them at any moment. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's like playing the organ. If you move both hands and both feet in a different way at the same time, you're fucked up. That's
and why
weird.
Are they old ladies of a certain countenance that could actually play the organ and have that masterful mind?
Well, I dated a guy who plays the organ for a church around here. And My roommate at the time was like, you know, if you can move both hands and both feet in different directions, it's fucked up.
It's very exciting.
It's, well.
Probably ambidextrous.
And hung.
And hung like a horse.
Yes,
most churchmen are.
Oh, thank God for small favors.
Son of a preacher man.
Son of a preacher man. I'm looking forward to this show. I really can't wait.
I am too. You've heard that it's good?
I've heard it's good. And most people, as we were saying earlier, most people who are musical theater people go, you know, I really shouldn't say this, but I really love it.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Well, the movie was such a great star vehicle for the lovely Reese, another Tennessean.
Yeah. She should play that and stay the hell away from Johnny Cash's wife.
Yeah.
She should never play June Carter Cash, ever. I don't care if she won an Oscar for it. She's not Southern enough.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
She's not Southern enough.
She's not Southern enough. June
Carter
Cash.
Literally a Belmont, Tennessean.
June Carter Cash could come out of her grave and kick that girl's ass right now. And you
know.
Wasn't
she alive when she did it, though?
She's dead.
June was alive when she did it.
I think June was dead.
I don't know.
If June wasn't dead, she was killed by that performance.
Well, we will see how it all fares on stage at the Oriental Theater. So it's another Queer Cast with Stephen and I going to the theater.
The theater. Yay!
Sony Pictures Classics proudly presents Every Little Step, a new film by James D. Stern and Adam Del Dio about the glorious journey of A Chorus Line from its beginnings. Peter Travers of Rolling Stone raves Every Little Step is a thrilling dazzler. Don't even think of missing it. While Joe Morgenstern from The Wall Street Journal cheers a large, heart-stopping triumph. How long has it been since a movie left you speechless? Every Little Step opens in Chicago Friday, May 15th.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
In Gloucester, Massachusetts, two brothers have been arrested for attacking a gay man. Justin Goodwin, age 33, was beaten outside Old Timers Tavern, and his attackers allegedly shouted anti-gay slurs as they shattered his jaw and broke his nose, eye socket, and cheekbone. Jonathan and William Chadwick, ages 23 and 21, were charged with aggravated assault and battery and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon.
Pennsylvania's Grove City College, a Christian institution, suspended student John Getcher because he appeared in gay porn. Getcher, a senior molecular biology major who went by the porn alias Vincent DeSalvo, said he needed the income to pay for school. However, he was suspended for 1 year after another student saw him in a video posted on gay porn website Randy Blue.
The family of Lawrence King, the gay student killed last year in Oxnard, California, has been allowed to sue the foster home where he lived for wrongful death. The family has alleged in a lawsuit that Casa Pacifica and its staff are responsible for the teen's death by encouraging him to express his sexuality. Brandon McInerney is charged with shooting King twice in the head during class. McInerney, now 15, has pled not guilty.
In California, the Assembly recently passed the LGBT Prisoner Safety Act to introduce sexual orientation and gender identity as criteria the Department of Corrections would consider when allocating housing and classifying prisoners. Two-thirds of LGBT inmates are victims of rape and other types of sexual assault.
Trans activist attorney Phyllis Randolph Fry is being honored by Texas A&M University. The school's Department of Multicultural Services recently presented the 2009 Diversity Service Awards, including the Phyllis Fry Advocacy Award, named in honor of the civil rights pioneer and the grandmother of the transgender movement in America.
In South Carolina, House legislators are debating the merits of teaching gay students about abusive relationships. Republican Representative Greg Delaney proposed amending a Department of Education bill so that only heterosexual relationships can be discussed in the training. However, Democratic Representative Ken Kennedy objected. The bill will be discussed further.
At the fifth anniversary of same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, two new studies from the Williams Institute show clear economic gains for the state that are connected to the marriage equality, revealing that the state gained a competitive edge in attracting young, highly educated, creative class professionals who are in same-sex relationships, and an economic boost. The typical same-sex couple spent $7,400 on a wedding in Massachusetts, with one in 10 couples spending more than $20,000.
And in world news, in Peru, Interior Minister Mercedes Cabanillas has issued a law that would ban gays and lesbians from joining the police force. The law states that any police officer who has sex with someone of the same gender, as well as anyone who has an extramarital affair, will be suspended indefinitely. However, some critics say that the new regulations are unconstitutional.
In Riga, Latvia, city officials have nixed a planned gay pride parade, claiming security-related fears and pressure from local council members. Riga's city hall had approved the parade. However, 34 of the city's 60 councilors urged that the march be moved from a city park to a less visible riverside area.
Ireland's health service will now recognize same-sex relationships by putting together new guidelines for hospitals on gay and lesbian relationships. This change comes from recommendations by a health report that showed, among other things, that lesbians and bisexual women having higher levels of heart disease and ovarian cancer, but are less likely to use gynecological services.
And in entertainment news, could Megan Fox be bisexual? The actress and star of Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen said she believes that people are born bisexual and then make choices dictated by society. She then said that she was a hypocrite by saying she would never sleep with a girl who was bisexual because that means she has sex with men.
Bradley Cooper has been cast in his second gay role. In the comedy Valentine's Day, Cooper will play a gay man in love with a closeted football player who meets Julia Roberts on a flight. Roberts will be an army officer on her way home from Iraq. Cooper played a gay camp counselor in the film Wet Hot American Summer.
Sir Anthony Hopkins is teaming up with director Sir Ridley Scott to bring Hannibal Lecter back for the fourth time since The Silence of the Lambs. Cate Blanchett will take over as Clarice Starling.
Kevin Spacey lost his temper on the London stage when an audience member's cell phone rang during a dramatic scene. Spacey yelled, "Tell them you're busy," and got a round of applause. Spacey is considering an online campaign to land the job of hosting the 2010 Academy Awards. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Based on the true story of two Arabic boys accused of homosexual sins, their tragic and moving story comes to life in Haram, Iran, a heart-wrenching story exposing the travesty of Iran's legal system. Playing at the Center on Halsted, 3656 North Halsted, for one weekend only, May 22nd through 24th. Tickets to Haram, Iran, written by J. Paul Darantani and directed by David Zack, are only $20, and all profits are donated to the Center on Halsted and the Anti-Violence Project. For tickets, visit haramiran.com for tickets. That's HARAMIRAN.com. Warning, there is nudity, violence, and strong political content in this show.
Last, Mary Poppins, the world's most famous nanny, has arrived, and all Chicago is feeling the magic.
It was just hopeful and bright, and there was wonderful spectacle. It was just really uplifting.
I loved the sets and the costumes, everything about it, bright and colorful and magical.
It's so good. It's so enjoyable.
It's just a great story. It's an unbelievable adventure. It's just a lot of fun.
I think that I've gotten to a point in my life where there's not a lot of magic. And it's really great to be able to see something that, you know, takes you to a place that's magical.
Put a little magic in your life with a musical that soars high above the rest. Mary Poppins, live on stage at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com today.
You're going to go in feeling great and leave feeling even better.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 18th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Heart-pounding attraction, all-night conversation, Love Person, now on stage at Victory Gardens Theater, captures the giddiness of new love affairs, says American Theater Magazine. Love Person introduces us to two couples, gay and straight, Three cultures and four languages in this love mystery performed in American Sign Language, Sanskrit, English, and projected email. Use the code FRESH for $5 off tickets. Order now at victorygardens.org.
Magic. Murder. Macbeth. Enter a Scotland racked by treachery and possessed by supernatural forces. A kingdom where loyalty is fatal, ambition is madness, and no motivation is pure. Babes with Blades brings all-female Shakespeare back to Chicago. Don't miss Macbeth, as you have never seen it before. Playing now through May 30th, visit babeswithblades.org.
Timeline Theater presents the Chicago premiere of Alan Bennett's Tony Award-winning drama, The History Boys. One of the smartest shows I've seen all season long, says the Wall Street Journal. And the Tribune raves, terrific, a triumphant revision Chicago style. A huge hit for Timeline. Don't miss The History Boys, now extended through August 2nd. Visit timelinetheater.com.
American Theater Company, in association with About Face Theater, presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, an award-winning rock musical about a young East German who gives up a little part of himself in order to escape communism for freedom in the U.S. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is extended now through May 31st at American Theater Company. Tickets at atcweb.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. It's now extended at the Apollo Theater. Do not miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Harold Pinter's mysterious masterpiece, Old Times, starring Nick Sands, Linda Gillum, and Jenny McKnight. Enter into a daring game of competing memories where everything is at risk. Old Times runs now through May 31st at the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, visit remybumbo.org. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
I'm Amy Armstrong.
I'm Freddie Allen.
And you're listening to WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Dear Elf, he's a lucky guy. I'm like gonna cry. I got tears coming out of my nose. Mad props, he's the campus catch. You're a perfect match. You both got such great taste in clothes. Of course he will propose. Dear El, honey, mazel tov. Future's taken off. Bring that ring back and show it to me. 4 carats of princess cut. Are you psyched or what? I just wish I could be there to see. When he gets down on one knee. Oh my God, you guys. Looks like El's gonna win the prize. If there ever was a perfect couple, this one was.
Well, there is a new show in town that will tickle you pink with its energy, optimism, and flair for the snap. That's Elle Woods, the blonde we love. She's back, but now it's on stage in Legally Blonde, the musical. The Broadway production was such a hit that it inspired a reality show, The Search for Elle Woods, for MTV, where young women sang, danced, and acted their hearts out for a chance at the role. One of the finalists from the show was the perky, tall, and talented Rhiannon Henson, who has a special spark and is now playing best friend Margot in this national tour while also understudying Elle Woods. And I'm so excited, oh my God, to have Rhiannon on the show. Hey, Rhiannon, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I have to tell you, I've already gushed beyond imagination to everybody I know about how much I love this show. And I'd never seen it. And so this Chicago production is the first time that I'm really getting to know the show outside of the television series, and it is a fantastic production all around.
Oh, well, thank you.
So tell me, how did you find yourself on the reality show? How did that happen for you? How did the search for Elle Woods become a part of your story?
Well, for me, I was actually living in L.A., and I just graduated from AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy there, And about a month after I had graduated, I was out just auditioning, and my roommate was sitting across from me. She goes, "Rhiannon, there's an audition for some Legally Blonde show. It's for, like, Elle." And I went, "What?" Because I had seen the show in San Francisco, like, a year and a half earlier, and I had fallen in love with it. And so then after, you know, I had seen the show, and I was like, I've got to do that show. So when this audition came up, I was so excited. And she goes, "It's a reality show." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know how I feel about a reality show. I'm not really sure I want to do that." But then I did the audition, and she's like, "You know, I'll just go, and if you don't like it, then you can always leave. You know, you don't have to stay." So I went, and I got a call back, so I went back the second date, and then I got the role, and they called me, and they said, "Hey, will you please come do the reality show in New York City?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And I went to New York, and that's how I ended up there.
Wow. So how long were you filming from beginning until you were one of the top finalists there?
For a month. It was February 18th to March 18th.
Wow. And did you, and I mean, you have to have expectations when you go into a situation like that. Was it more than what you thought? Like, was it more dramatic than what you thought, or harder than what you thought it would be?
It was very different. It was very different. I thought, you know, that it would be, I don't know, that the girls would be catty and that it would be very hard. But the thing is, yeah, the challenges were difficult and things were really hard. But the thing that got me through was the fact that we became friends, me and all the girls. Like, you know, we all kind of picked out who would be the ones to really hold your hands for the whole thing. And, like, for me, it was Natalie. And me and Natalie are still very, very good friends. And now Lauren and I are very, very good friends, especially being on tour together. And it became so easy knowing that there was somebody cheering you on, even though they were also wanting the role themselves. It was nice to feel that and to have that.
So like, did you not feel like a real sense of cutthroat competition? I mean, obviously, do you think every one of the girls or the women were portrayed accurately on the show? Or who do you think was the most misconstrued?
I feel so bad for poor little Cassie. She's just very, very sweet and very, you know, I just love her, Cassie S. And they made her look like such a mean person. And she was really nice to me. And so that was a little bit awkward for me because I was like, oh, no, I loved her. I thought she was so nice. So I think it's just she came off wrong and, you know, said the wrong things to the cameras. And, you know, and for me, that was something that was very important to me, was to make sure that I looked like myself. And I didn't want them to find every little piece of drama that they could out of me and put it on air. And so I tried if I felt differently about something, I just wouldn't say anything, and I just really tried to make me look true to me, because I don't get in arguments, and I don't fight a lot, and I try to stay out of that. I hate confrontation and stuff, so I just tried to stay out of the way, and I never had any problems with anything, no fights or anything that I got into.
Yeah.
When the show aired, I was like, I had no idea all that arguing was going on. I had no clue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you all were living so on top of one another that it was uncomfortable that there was any kind of bitterness or fighting.
I mean, when the episode where Cassie threw us under the bus, I mean, there was a little bit of, like, tension, and I could feel it. But, you know, when I felt tension, I just would usually sit down on my bed and, like, you know, try to do something else and, like, look at a magazine or something. You know, I tried not to think about it, or I'd go somewhere else if there was fighting.
Yeah.
So that's just my personality.
Yeah. Well, then how long was it from when the reality show to the opportunity to be on this tour for you? Did that happen quickly?
Yeah, it was about 4 months. And that's not including. It was about 3 months until I moved to New York to start rehearsing.
Wow. And did you find yourself just from the television show getting far more recognition? I mean, did people recognize you on the streets of New York and around?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, it's so funny because, like, I'll just be walking somewhere and someone will be like, "Oh, my God, you're Rhiannon, I love you." And it's shocking still to me because, I mean, I graduated college in December of 2007. So it hasn't even been that long for me, even now, you know. And I'm like, it's just so surreal. Because everyone would always say, you know, it doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. So don't think it will. And for me, it kind of did. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I graduated. I went on the TV show. I went to rehearsals for the tour. And now I'm on tour. And so it was very, very crazy and quick, and everything just kind of threw me for a loop, and this has all happened within like a year. So it was very, very exciting for me, and it still is very surreal when people know who I am.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, though, because, I mean, I was in their spot just not even a year ago, you know. I still get so excited if I see someone famous, and I'm like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
I get really awkward.
Have you met some famous people that have been exciting for you since this whole journey began?
Well, yeah, I met Kristen Chenoweth, and mm-hmm. she has been one of my heroes, her and Laura Bell Bundy. And Kristen Chenoweth I met at Sephora, and I just, like, looked at her. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's you. And then when I actually got to meet Laura Bell Bundy that was not on the TV show, when she came out for the tour for a little while, I got to meet her and, like, get to know her. And when I first met her, I'm sure I said some really stupid things because I look up to her so much. And, like, she's really is a big hero in my life, that I followed her from the time she did Legally Blonde in San Francisco. And so when I got to meet her and talk to her, I was like, I just have to tell you, like, I'm just a huge fan. And I was like, okay, Rhiannon, stop talking. <That's> stupid.
Well, now you're like walking exactly her, so. In her shoes, and you're having understudy rehearsals where you're walking her path, and that must feel surreal as well. Let's talk about this show. I mean, you know, I went to the show night before last, and I have to say, I was sitting there with my gay co-host Steven Rader. So there we are, like the lesbian that loves theater and the gay man that loves theater, and we're there to love some theater. I had on my pink coat. He had his little pink something. You know, we were pinked up to be there for the show.
Uh-huh.
And sitting to my right was this older couple, probably in their early to mid 70s. They had chosen to come to Legally Blonde instead of going to the Cubs game. They were visiting from Lexington, Kentucky. And I kind of start talking to this guy, and I think, oh, this guy's going to probably wish he went to the Cubs. And by intermission, I looked at him. I said, how you doing? He goes, this thing's great. Like, he loved it. I mean, truly, this musical is so infectious. It moves like a train at light speed. It is so fast. What do you find are some of those common responses to the show from people who see it?
Oh, everyone who I've seen loves the show. You know, like, I'll even talk to a bunch of boys who are, like, you know, in college, and they're like, Legally Blonde's going to be stupid. Legally Blonde's going to suck. It's like a girl show. And I'm like, okay, just wait until you see it. Just come see it. They come see it afterwards. They're like, that was awesome. You know, and it's so funny because people of all ages, from, you know, 5 years old to, like, 95, they all love the show. And it's just so energetic, and it's so high, and there's something for everyone. There's something for young kids, and there's something for adults. It's such a wonderful show for the whole family.
Well, and you know what's so great is that it's the pace of this show is so relentless. I mean, I can imagine performing in it. I mean, it's just a relentless pace. I mean, and then in the middle of the whole thing, you've got a damn number where you all are singing and jumping rope, for God's sakes. So I was like, holy cow, what other superhuman trick are they going to do? But and because of that, gay boys listening to the podcast, I will tell you, the bodies in this show are really, really good. I saw Chorus Line a month before, and their bodies were nothing like the bodies in this cast. Those boys are hot. They are gorgeous.
They are hot.
And you get to see a lot of their bodies. So definitely,
yes.
Even though it's
and
PG.
I cannot tell you how many of us girls watch their bodies backstage.
I mean, it's PG, but the eye candy is triple X hot. It's good looking.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the hardest moment in the show for you every night? Do you have a hard moment, and do you have a favorite moment in the show as Margot?
Yes, my hard moment, it's really bizarre hard moment. It's really funny. But during Positive, when I'm singing, then I'll start singing, and all of a sudden, like, there's just, you know, like, there's just a moment and a note that just, sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't, and if it doesn't, I crack, and the girls laugh at me. And that's my hard moment in the show. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's on my break, and I'll crack sometimes. But I think, you know, people are very forgiving, especially towards Margot, because Margot is the dumb blonde, and she runs around like a fool.
Yeah.
And then the easiest moment and the most fun moment in the entire show is Bend and Snap. And it is just so much fun. And we get everyone on stage, and there's just an energy that is beyond belief. And it's just a moment that is so fun for everyone. And that's my favorite moment of the whole show.
Well, and for people who've seen the film, you know, Bend and Snap is kind of like a musical moment in the middle of that movie anyhow. You know, it's kind of a very theatrical moment.
Yeah,
so it's kind of fun to see that one done again. So This cast is really, really amazing. I mean, the woman playing Paulette is just she's just genius, I thought. And
she's so funny.
And and you're on stage with your friend Lauren from the show as well, from the Search for Elle Woods. Now, how is it being an understudy and you're on call to do that role? Because I guess we should say the role that you play is like one of Margot's Charlie's Angels' three best friends. There's kind of like three of you, who are like a little trio, and you're an integral part to the entire story, serving as a Greek chorus at times when she's off at school, and also in her real life, at the beginning and at the end. So you already have like a pretty big, what we'd call theatrical track. Like you're on stage a lot, you're singing a lot, you got a lot of costume changes. So how is it then to switch your brain and think, okay, now I need to figure out this understudy track and for the lead, which is a part that is, I mean, she is never not on stage.
Right. I mean, it's not as hard as it should be, as like people would think it was, because on the TV show we did learn most of the really hard numbers, and so that's where all the stress came from. So I know the really difficult numbers now. Now it's just like the little things, like I'll get a word wrong, like instead of an and I'll say but, you know, it's little things like that that are hard now. And it is hard, especially during So Much Better, to change back into the L track if ever I have to go on for her during the understudy rehearsal, because I'm used to singing the backup, and so all of a sudden I'll start singing backup, and I'll be like, oh, no. And then at nights after understudy rehearsal, sometimes I'll start singing with Elle and have to be like, oh, wait, no, I don't want to sing with Elle.
Right.
I've got to go back to backup. It's really funny to switch back and forth. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun for me to learn both roles and to know them both, and I enjoy it.
So is home – now, you're going on tour, and if people want more information on the tour, in case you are not in the Chicago area – you can visit their website, legallyblondethemusical.com. I think you're in Pennsylvania next, and then the tour continues. So it's coming maybe to a town near you. I hear that it's playing now in London, I think.
It's going to be starting in December or something, I think. Don't quote me on that for 100% sure, but I think that's when.
Yeah, so I mean, if you check out this website, even if you're not in the United States, you might be able to see the show, and I definitely, definitely recommend it. So where's home now? You said you were living in L.A., and then you went to New York for this reality show. Do you know what kind of coast girl you are?
I'm honestly more of an L.A. girl. I do like L.A. a lot, and I love the weather and the smells, and it's so silly, but, I love L.A. so much. But I don't know, I might end up in New York. It kind of depends on where my path takes me. You know, I just kind of go where I can get a job and where something's right for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, Elle came from California, too, and ended up all the way in the East Coast. So it wouldn't be that unreal or unusual for you to start out in L.A. and end up on the East Coast as well, huh? Just to follow her path once again.
Right.
Well, everybody, Legally Blonde is playing at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. That's a mouthful, but it's right there on Randolph. The theater that was once green for many, many years is now pink through June 7th only. Do not miss this show, folks. I'm telling you, I really encourage people to take young girls to this show. I love, and I don't know, Rhiannon, you are younger than me, but I definitely loved musical theater, and I'm so happy today that the roles that young women who go see musicals get to see themselves portrayed as, really smart, independent, fearless, don't really need a man kind of representations. And this is a good one. So do not miss this show, folks. And if you want to get your tickets here for the Chicago production, the best way is just to go online at BroadwayInChicago.com. Or if you're not in Chicago, visit the website legallyblondethemusical.com and find out when the tour is coming near you. Rhiannon, have a great run.
Thank you so much.
And what are you going to do? What's the one thing you want to do before you leave Chicago?
I would like to spend $1 million that I don't have. So I don't know. I'd like to go to the pier and do the Ferris wheel and the rides and go look around over there.
Well, you should do that. One day when you just have a matinee, hop over to the pier at night and ride it at night and see the skyline. It's really fantastic view of the city.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
All right. And everybody else, get yourselves to Legally Blonde. Do not miss it. Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. So we're just coming out of...
Oh my God, I'm back at you guys.
Legally Blonde.
It was great.
I fucking love that show.
It's great.
In my pink coat. I had the best damn time. I felt like a Delta Nu.
I just love it. I think it's a great show.
What a great cast.
Brilliant cast.
Cute.
And,
gays, you should run, don't walk.
Because there's some hot bodies on the stage.
There's some hot bodies.
Hotter bodies than were in Chorus Line. I will say it.
I will say it, too.
I will say it.
Hotter bodies than Chorus Line, male and female.
Holy frijoles.
Yeah.
Let me just say... Yes.
And little Becky Gelsig, I guess? Gelsig?
I don't care what your name is, but she's a star.
Woods, L.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. She was so good. And I know everybody was talking about, what's the actress that played it on Broadway?
Oh, Laura Bell Bundy.
Yeah, but I really thought this girl, I didn't see how anybody could be better than her. She looks so much like Reese Witherspoon.
And let's just say it. Laura Bell Bundy sounds like a character on Married with Children. Let's just say what it is.
Okay.
That's what it is. I was waiting for the dog and all that stuff to come out. No, yeah. She was brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
And the score is amazing.
The score is really, really good. Now, you didn't know the score at all.
I knew the opening number, and that was it. But the score is so well integrated with the story. You can't take songs out of it. It was sung like a bitch today. I mean, these people just tore it up.
Well, it's the night before
their opening.
I guess their official opening, but... Hey, I just need to say, you know, really, this show's not in town for long. And
don't walk.
And I really think it's a run, don't walk for the gay community.
Oh.
And also, anybody who has a young girl.
Yes.
I was walking out of it because a friend of mine tonight, called me right before I was leaving. She was like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to see Legally Blonde. And she said, you know, I heard that a lot of moms want to take their girls to that. And what do you think? You know, let me know what you think. And I really... Here's the thing. I could definitely say it's PG, but it is clever and it is smart. And definitely a lot of innuendo.
A lot of innuendo. And
great comedy. Like, smart comedic timing.
Smart stuff by
this crew.
By the actors. Oh, my God. The girl who plays Paulette. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
She is fantastic.
She is genius.
Do you know what I loved about her that in the film was a little different because... is that she really sounded like she was from Boston.
From Boston, yes, she did.
She really was like a true Boston, Boston girl, and just a big old love of a girl.
Uh-huh.
And I just really thought that was fantastic because that's not something, you're less aware of a sense of place in the movie than you were in this musical, which is so interesting because they're actually walking around Harvard and walking around Boston in
so
a film.
True.
It's
very true.
And you can't do that, you know, obviously in a musical. It's kind of like, you know, you hope that the Sound of Music that you never feel the Alps more than in the movie because you're never going to see the Alps on stage, no matter who's playing Maria von Trapp, you know. But I just am amazed, you know, at growing up as a young girl who loved musicals. And I was always singing, you know, I was singing like Reno from Anything Goes. And I was singing the lead from, you know, or the body, Meg Brockie from Brigadoon. And I was singing, and I definitely, Annie was really the only show. I mean, as I said, I was singing Dance 10 Looks 3. I was singing shows that were above my consciousness of experience, right? But nowadays, I feel like, I know you hated Wicked, but we were in the same theater, you know, it was all green for decades.
Now it's pink.
And now it's all pink. But I really think, like, what an amazing thing for young women in theater and musical theater to have some of these great, great roles that are actually giving such great feminist messages to women. And I just love it.
And here's the deal. When you really, really listen to even American popular songs, when you listen to Just in Time, I Found You Just in Time, Before You Came, My Time Was Running Low. If you even look, would you really listen to the lyrics of American popular song and a lot of the songs you're talking about in 50s and 60s musicals, for women and for men, but more for women, we're talking about songs that say, I'm nothing, and then you came.
Yeah.
I was nothing. I couldn't be anything.
Without
if you,
you
hadn't come, I'd still be nothing. I'd probably have killed myself and jumped off a building.
Right.
You know, and now we're listening to these songs about, no, it's me. It's all about me. I can do this. Yeah. I'm powerful. And even the male character that she ends up with empowers her to be her own person, which is very, very smart. And the last montage is the women, the three women coming together. It's great.
Yeah.
It's very, very smart.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really great show. So, as I said, it's only in Chicago for a short amount of time, and I mean, really, just go and have a blast. We were sitting next to an older couple from Lexington, Kentucky, who were just in town tourists, I guess, come to the city, you know, every now and again. And they just decided between the Cubs game and
Legally Blonde.
And I thought for this poor man who looks like he's my father and looked a lot like my father, my father's age. And I thought, this guy is not, he's going to wish he picked the Cubs game. Like before it started, you know?
And then he loved it.
He loved it. He looked at me at intermission. He was like, isn't this great? You're so talented, you know? And really, really, you know, laughed quite a bit.
Knew we had him. I love the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, he loved the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, well, we'll give you a pass on that one, honey.
Yeah,
but that's
all
right.
You know, 20 gazillion people can't be wrong for 20 gazillion
years. You know, there's a great podcast that I just found. It came out end of the year last year, top of the year this year. It's a Sondheim. It goes along with the Sondheim big compilation that came out at the end of the year last year called The Story So Far. It's a podcast attached to some theater, what have you. But if you go on to iTunes, you can find it. And all these different interviews. But one of them, I think it's about Follies. And it is about Follies. And about how Prince says, you know, we have to really look at and define the difference between a flop and a hit, at a success and a failure. He said there are a lot of shows that were financially unsuccessful, but were very, very stretch the boundaries of what this art form is, that people consider a flop. And he goes, and there are lots of shows that make a lot of money and are not good.
Right.
And that's kind of the way I feel about Wicked. Made a lot of money. They're still making a lot of money. Not good.
I guess the only thing I think about Wicked, though, is I do think it broke a form, and I think that it got non-theater people going to the theater.
Yeah, but when non-theater people go to the theater and see crap.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we agree to disagree about Wicked. I think that it's got
Yip Harburg should come out of the fucking grave and kill him. That's what I think. Yip Harburg would be like, Nessa, I got something to confess. Really?
Yeah.
Slash.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I think Joe Mantello did a really good job.
Oh, I think he did. I think he's a brilliant director.
And I think also, you know, the book is not remotely like the musical. But to have a vision of kind of what some of the themes of it were, obviously it stripped a lot of the politics out of it and made it something for, you know, to me,
You're right. But I just like my musicals to be a little... I wish there were more musicals for adults.
Yeah.
And now there are. I mean, we have Next to Normal on Broadway now,
which is
an adult musical. You know, but there are so few musicals that truly try to be adult, I think.
Absolutely. But I think that the way what is happening right now is the gift of the musical for the youth of today, which I hope will empower a new generation of musicals, with Billy Elliot coming out for young boys, you know, for Billy's not gay, but for the gay community, what kind of that other than, and I think Wicked too. I think a lot of the gay community was drawn to, or any other than type person.
And let's just say this, I will be in the first community theater production of 9 to 5 playing Dorley Rhodes. I will go. I don't care where it is.
Yeah.
I will find that production. I will play Dorley Rhodes. I will have some great bags of tits. I don't know what I'm going to get. Put in birdseed. I don't know.
Yep.
But I'm saying I will do it.
Yep.
I will do it. So mark my word.
I am
there. In the year 2034, by God, I will play Dorley.
I might have to produce it for you.
I'll be in a walker. But it will be lots of fun, and people will come. there's a great theater. I think it's it. I've forgotten where it is. But they were doing, obviously before this, they were doing this thing that this guy had written. It was the movie version of 9 to 5 on stage. And he called it Come Back to the 9 to 5 Dolly Parton, Dolly Parton.
There you go. Genius.
It was so... He had a little clip of it on YouTube for a while. Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm doing all these shout-outs to people I don't even know. Is that fun?
That's okay. We love it. It's the whole interweb.
Popular culture.
The whole interweb.
Well, interweb.
To promote it.
Well, we love the Legally Blonde.
We love Legally Blonde.
We love it.
Two pink thumbs up.
Two pink thumbs up. Oh, well, anyway.
We love it. Ooh,
pink thumbs up.
And, coming up next week on the podcast, I don't even know what it is. I think Dame Alexander Billings may be with us.
The Grand Dame. The Duchess.
And we hope that you'll take suggestions from our last show earlier in the week about what to do for Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
So hats off, chaps off to all the leather guys coming into town.
Amen, brother.
And definitely to all the burly mm-hmm. bears. Stephen mm-hmm. and I may be slung up at
a hairy bear.
He was a scary bear. Stephen and I may be slung up at Sidetrack, so if you're not doing anything Memorial Day Sunday, maybe
come and have a slushy with us.
Come have a slushy with us. So, signing off from another night of theater with Stephen Rader.
Yay, it was fun.
How awesome Thank you. Is that?
Bye. It's a gift from me to
her. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.